Blog Talk Radio.
Nice.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I am Dorian Wallace, joined by my lovely sister, Raina Starr. How you doing, Mama?
Hello. Hello, everybody. What's up? What's up? How you doing? We're back this week. Me and sis. Hello.
Yay.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right. I'm gonna just start.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, welcome to Desperate House Witches. If you are new, welcome. We are happy to have you. Desperate House Witches, as I found out, is rated R for raucous. Rude.
Oh.
Raina, there you go. That's all you need to know. So if dirty talk, bad language, and all that sort of stuff gets you annoyed, you won't want to listen to the show. Because I'm liable to say, you don't know what, I don't know what, it falls out as it happens. Anyway, on to business. Desperate House, which is brought to you by The Angry Cauldron. Check out The Angry Cauldron at theangrycauldron.com. Guess what? They got some shit on sale. Let me just tell you. Hello. All right, so new on sale at The Angry Cauldron, they have incense cones. Wildberry, it's a great brand. They've got Wizard, King Cake, and Fairy Dust. Titles that make you just want to buy them just to see what they smell like, because I love the idea. Also, brand new, yes, Blessed Herbal Ancestor Candle. Ooh, that's cool. It's brand new. Very cool. Strengthen your connection to your ancestors and their voices of wisdom. So if you feel like you got to reach back and find out some stuff, I highly recommend these candles. Actually, I highly recommend pretty much all of these blessed candles. I've used them in magical work, love them a whole bunch, but I'm going to have to check out this ancestor candle because I do not have one of those. Okay, also, new Wildberry Citronella Incense Sticks and Yardsticks. Oh my gosh, you have heard me talk about this incense before, the Lemon Citronella, my personal favorite. They also have it in Lavender, and they have it in Sandalwood, but it's so good at keeping bugs away. I keep them in my office. I keep them in my car. Seriously, if bugs are bugging you, keep the skeeters off you. Burn some of this stuff. It's amazing. AngryCauldron.com also does international shipping. And our other sponsor, the Wicked Witch herself, the incredible, the lovely, the fantabulous Dorothy Morrison at WickedWitchStudios.com. Check out her Facebook page. Check out the July spell before it's not July anymore. So get her done. Anyway, so that's the business end of this stick. I have had a week that has been insane. People are in open revolt. It's crazy. I have seen people lose their shit this week.
Yeah.
While I remain a bastion of calm in the middle of insanity. So, yeah, things are kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. Oh, also, before I forget, next weekend, y'all, Mystic South, mystic-south.com. Check out the website. Come on down to Georgia. We're going to be hanging out, partying down at the first Mystic South convention. It's going to be fun. There is a webpage. It's going to be the first one, and we hope the first of many. So definitely looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, our sponsor, the incredible Dorothy Morrison, is going to be there, as will I. So that's going to be kind of nuts in and of itself. Convention season is always crazy. So it's convention season, it's festival season, be careful out there. Things can get a little out of hand. We are in a new type of America right now, so we're going to have to protect each other because you don't know what's coming and you don't know where it's coming from. But there are people who don't like us and they don't like our path and they feel emboldened for certain reasons to let us know just how much they don't like us. So take care of yourselves. Be careful. Watch out for each other. And everybody stay safe when you're traveling, when you're hitting the festival scene, when you're hitting the conventions. Because, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, bring your scarf out tonight.
Well, I don't want to encourage that necessarily for anything more than actual ritual. But, you know, I would not want to sully my athame with some idiot's blood. So I will keep that thing sheathed and keep it where it belongs in ritual circle only. But doesn't mean I'm not going to throw a spell or five.
There
just
you go.
Saying. The shit goes down. So the gods are good. I have to thank you, sis, and I have to thank Dorothy Morrison because I actually got really bold and did something I had not done before, and that was to talk to the spirit of Marie Laveau. Yes, I did. And I came with money, and I came with booze.
There you go.
It was awesome. It wasn't for me personally, mind you. It was for someone else. And it went really well. So pretty excited about that. So I would like to thank the spirit of Marie Laveau for helping me in my endeavors. Yeah. It's really cool. I like this branching out thing. It's good. You can't just, you know, there's more than just this little group of gods that, you know, I've been faithful to these gods for so long and da 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 da. There's spirits everywhere. You can encourage and hopefully make friends with all types of spirits and have all types of spiritual work done. You don't have to just go to Hecate or just go to, you know, Gaia or just go to Athena or just go, whichever you choose. I mean, I've always had like, you know, specific like patron gods and goddesses, but you know, there are other entities in the universe that are more than happy to help, you know? So I thought that was really cool. So it was kind of a lesson for me because I kind of get stuck in, well, you know, I've been this way for so long and I still consider myself Gardnerian Wiccan, but, ooh, she said the bad word. Yes, I did, because it's what I've been almost my entire fucking life. Sorry, I know that kind of, somebody explain that to me as like being Republican. Like, oh, you're the old guard of witch, you know, you're one of these people with a stick up your ass. No, not about that. Seriously, not. We're not all the same, you know. It's some of us are like, no, let's be open, let's branch out. It does happen. I know it's not supposed to.
I think there's a difference. And I've always viewed it that way. It's, you know, there are people who have, you know, come up like you and actually taken the time to, you know, there are old school Wiccans and actual Wiccans, and then there's book Wiccans and TV Wiccans. You know, even though I liked the TV show when it was on, I blame Charmed for this kind of shit to an extent. Because it's given a bad name. It's, you know, the people who get into it and then start condemning everybody else. Like, oh, well, you know, you're not supposed to practice magic, or you're not supposed to do this, or you're not supposed to do that. You know what?
Or you have to do this, or you have to do that. There's a lot of, oh, and you have to do it this way, and you have to do it that way. Like,
exactly.
You know, I don't necessarily, first of all, when I'm doing solitary, which is a large part of my practice. I don't call the quarters. I don't necessarily do a salt circle. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know, ceremony helps a lot of people get in touch with, you know, that spiritual side, but it's not, you know, you're not doing it wrong if you're, you know, not doing a salt circle or, you know, calling the quarters. You don't have to always do that. Sometimes you can just experience it and be in the moment with it, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be that regimented 24/7. I mean, listen, I love a good ritual as much as the next person, but it, you know, sometimes you don't have time for that or space for that. It shouldn't stop you from practicing, you know. I mean, what you feel, what you are, and go with it.
Well, or if you're like me, you know, I'm one of those people. I actually get distracted by ceremony and ritual because I'm constantly thinking, oh, God, did I remember to say this or did I remember to do that? And it distracts me. I'm a shoot-from-the-hip kind of witch. Like yesterday, I had made up banishing powder for a friend, and I threw in a little extra something this time. I threw in some Bitch Be Gone from Dorothy Morrison. I threw in 3 drops. I was like, bitch be gone. You know? And then I had put it in another vessel and I'm like, I had taught the small one, you know, this is how you do it, you know? And actually I'll give you guys the recipe that I used if you all want sea salt. I used cayenne pepper. Well, actually, I did sea salt, sulfur, then cayenne pepper, then black pepper, and cinnamon. So you mix those all together, you know, activate it, bless it, however you do that. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. The way I do it is I breathe life into it, sort of like I do with voodoo dolls. You know, you raise the energy, whatever. So I decided after I made that batch, there was a tiny bit left in the jar that I had. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make another batch. Why not? And then I decided the next day, because as I'm trying to go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, which insomnia has been staying with me this week.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It happens. I go through this like every... I don't know, probably like once a year. It's never been this long, or not never, but it hasn't been this long in a while. But it's fine. I can survive on a little bit of sleep still for like one day, and then I'll sleep for an entire day.
Mm-hmm, but, I've done that.
Yeah, and oh, God, that feels so good. But anyway... I digress. As I'm laying there, I'm thinking, you know, I wish I could get it. It seems like I can't get a job, like a regular income coming in consistently, you know. So I decided to take the banishing powder and write on a piece of paper, and I usually use like just brown shopping bag type paper. And I wrote down money troubles, stuck it in a bag, covered it with vanishing powder, and then covered it with water and stuck it in the freezer. So I just did that yesterday. We'll see how it works.
Oh, let me tell you something. Can't get too much into detail, but did the exact same thing, not money related, well, sort of money related, but not directly, person related. Did the old, let me stick this person in the freezer. Yep. That was this morning. So, yeah, you and I are tuned in again. That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, so that was definitely happening because I mentioned it last night. I'm like, you know, we need to put so-and-so to cool down. We need this person to chillax, okay? So, of course, I gave the instructions, you know, we're going to do such and such and put them in the freezer. Yep. Looks like a charm.
There
Looks
you
like
go.
A charm.
I love freezer spells.
Freezer, don't you love the easy spells? You know, not for nothing. It doesn't always have to be complicated. You know, graveyard dirt is great. Not always necessary. Sometimes you just got to cut the spell where you are when it's happening.
Exactly.
You know, I don't carry around my InstaWitch kit with me to work every day. You know, I mean, I do carry, there are some things I carry. As everybody knows, I've got my St. Dorothy the Wicked oil with me all the time. And I use it to, I'm telling you, I live by it. I spray it on stuff. I spray it on people. I spray it around the house. Unsuspecting idiots, you know, because fools run into trouble. Spray the doorway of my office, the doorway of the house, everywhere I go. So I'm very excited about hopefully picking up some more next weekend. So yay. Yeah. So if you need anything, we can talk off air about, hey sis, can you get me some of this? Yeah.
Awesome.
It's good stuff. I would drink it if it were not poison. So, you know, it's not poison, but you're not supposed to drink oils. I'm just saying.
No.
So,
not good.
Yeah, no, not good for the digestive tract. But I wanted to ask you something. So you put sulfur. You put sulfur in the vanishing powder, yes?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
I'm highly allergic to sulfur.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm highly allergic to sulfur. So what can you use as a substitute in the vanishing powder if you, because a lot of people have sulfur allergies.
You know what? That is actually a good question.
Yeah.
The only ones I don't know that I've seen it with or without sulfur, because I've never really thought it. I guess you could leave the sulfur out.
Can you leave it out? Or should you substitute something else? I've never made it, so I have
no clue. It's not like Forties vinegar. You don't have to have like so many.
Okay.
Trying to think off the top of my head.
But you made industrial strength shit right there.
Oh God, yeah. I always do.
I love it.
Yeah, black talc. You could probably use black talc or bay leaves would probably work.
I'll go with the bay leaves.
Yeah, just grind them up.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I got to pick up some bay leaves, as a matter of fact. The larder is almost empty. Yes, ma'am.
I'm talking to David in the chat room. He sent me a message, and I can never pronounce this. It's Asafoetida? Tita?
Oh, okay. I don't know how to... we'll get David to pronounce it for us, because I have no clue.
Okay.
Okay. I've seen it written. I've never heard anybody say it, so I am clueless.
Exactly. It's like athame or, there's a couple other words like that that I always pronounced wrong when I was a baby witch and I was not practicing with anybody, you know, because I wasn't sure. You know, I had only read it in books, and I used to call athames athames, you know.
A lot of people do. See, I don't know if that's wrong, because I hear people pronounce it all different ways.
Yeah. And Tonya Brown was the first one who taught me how to pronounce it correctly. She kind of giggled the first time I said it.
Aw, my poor sister.
Oh, no, it's fine. You know what? I would rather be corrected if I'm wrong than look like an ass and continue saying it the wrong way.
That's true.
You know.
That
it's
is
like
true.
She didn't give me a hard time about it. So. She just
kind
of giggled.
Okay. If somebody was going to give me a hard time, I would want it to be Tanya Brown.
Yes, exactly. Her and Evil Twin. Although
Evil Twin can give you a run for your money as well.
Oh, yeah. Now, in the beginning, though, when you first meet her, yeah, she actually means it. So you can laugh it off if you want, but she takes a while to warm up to people. So
I don't think so. I've always thought she was. She's always been lovely to me. I don't know.
Oh well, yeah. She's mellowed with age, but yeah. When I first met her, it took her, I think, a year, or maybe 2 years to warm up to me. You know, she wasn't outright rude, but she just kind of constantly side-eyeing me. It's like, okay, I just backed off and gave her space. I'm like. But I've never been one of those that tries to force people to like me. If you don't like me, I can respect that. You know, I don't care.
There's some people that I prefer not like me.
Yes, there are some people like that. It's like, you're sweet, you're well-meaning, but please go away. Please leave me alone. You go away now.
I don't know. I've come to the understanding that I am not everybody's cup of tea, and that's all right.
Nor should you be. I mean, you know, it's, what was it? Dita Von T said there's like a quote that, you know, that I've seen it on memes, but, you know, I've actually heard her say it, not in person, but you can be the juiciest, ripest tree, or peach on the tree, and there's always going to be somebody that hates peaches. So
yeah, like that.
You know, I like that saying, though.
It's a good one. I am not everybody's favorite flavor of anything. That's okay. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I've gotten a thick skin with age. When I was younger, it used to bother me. Why don't they like me? Now I don't care. And now that I don't care, more people like me. So I don't know. Maybe it's the air of desperation. See, when you're young and you're feeling your way around life and, you know, you're trying to fit in, be accepted and all that stuff, it's a hard time. It's a really hard time. And that's just when you're, you know, like everybody else, just trying to fit in. I can't even imagine the struggle if you're different, you know, and how hard that must be, you know. So I have a lot of empathy because I wasn't the prettiest kid, still not. People can be really, you love me, it's a little different. not everybody's cup of tea. Just saying, but I mean, I have a lot of empathy and sympathy for folks that, you know, have to start off in life being different. However different means, you know, and different can mean pretty much anything, you know. I want my hair 6 different colors. I'm gay. I'm trans. I'm, you know, anything you want. I mean, it's like, The more I've seen us open as a people, the more I've seen us close as a people. It's really kind of fucked up, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, the hypersensitive police are out in force, but they always seem to be out in force in the wrong direction. Instead of giving more love, they give less love. You know, instead of being more friendly and more giving, they're more closing the ranks and saying, ew, you're different. It's the weirdest thing I've ever fucking seen. You know?
I think humans by nature, you know, they want to have a close-knit tribe. And, you know, I don't know, maybe once they get that balance of the tribe they want and that they feel comfortable with it, you know, anybody else who tries to come in and makes them feel uncomfortable, you know, because you got to realize the thing about uncomfort or being uncomfortable is because it makes you take a look at yourself and question, okay, you know, instead of asking yourself, why does that make me feel uncomfortable? They'd rather it just go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the opposite of what everybody says they're trying to do.
Exactly. It's hypocritical.
It's just weird because these people do not see themselves as being hypocritical. They see
mm-hmm.
themselves as, well, you know, we actually care about you. You know, we care about your soul. We care about this. We care about that. But you don't care about what's right in front of you. You're more interested in my what if. Like, let's say I wanted to have an abortion. You're more interested in, you know, what if I have an abortion and my soul and the baby's soul, as opposed to, here, let me adopt that child. We'll sign a contract right now. If you really wanted to help, if you're really true to your word, then you would want to do something to actively participate in the saving of, if that's what you actually believed. I mean, the hypocrisy just, I get hit over the head with it a lot. I watch it all day long. And it's after a while, you get so numb. It's like, I don't even know what the appropriate thing is to say or not say. Who am I going to offend if I actually say what I'm thinking? It's really, hyper. It's hyper. It's a little too much.
See, to me, rule number one, how other people live their life is none of your fucking business. That's rule number one. You have no ownership over other people's decisions. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, that's your opinion. But in their opinion, what they're doing is right for them. You know, as long as they're not, like, physically going out there and shooting other people or taking away other people's rights, let people be. You know, just let them be. Let them be free. Let them be happy. If going around dressing up in animal costumes makes them happy, okay. That's fine. I don't, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I've hugged one of those people after they've been in that suit for a while, like at a convention. Please don't do that because it does smell. I love y'all. But I don't care if you do it. I don't care if you dress up. I don't, you know, don't go messing with little kids. Don't go messing with other people's lives. But be happy. You know, I've got no ownership over other people's decisions. You know, and I think people have a hard time with that. Like, they want to have control. They feel out of control with it.
But, I don't know. I can find better things to do than to want to control other people.
Exactly. Like magic. Like sticking people in a freezer. That's more fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I realize as witches, some, you know, there are some aspects we try to control, but it's more to protect ourselves or to, you know, try to find favor in the universe, not, you know, to that extent. But I'm derailing, and we need to bring our guest on. So I'm going to shut
up
now.
Don't derail. All
right.
All right, fine. Bring our guest on. I want to talk to Mr. Salisbury.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy
hey.
Almost birthday. Happy almost birthday. Happy almost birthday. Happy almost birthday. I'm just getting it out there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you've been following my Leo obsessiveness about that.
Aw.
Did I do a bad thing? I'm sorry. I was excited.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Trust me, I've been putting that everywhere. Walking
yeah,
by,
my
oh,
okay.
What are you doing? Just, you know, at work, what are your plans this week? I'm like, well, nothing this weekend, but the weekend after, I'm turning 30.
Yes. I'm so excited for you. Welcome to the over 29 club, almost. I've been there quite a while.
For the 29-ish club, as it's been said to me.
Oh, are you kidding? Just I remember
pretty much anything.
29.
After.
Yeah. I mean, are you do you feel like it's going to be anything different?
I don't know. Hopefully I become more attractive, because I've always thought that men beyond 30, and women actually, look, just have this like extra air of gorgeousness. So that's my goal.
Nice.
You know, not financial security, nothing like that.
Wow. You are being real, really real. Totally real tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. No, you know what? I have said this on the air before, and I've said this to my sister numerous times. Having been in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and now 50s, 50s are grand. They are grand.
I've heard
that. It is a magical, magical time. Well, if you're a magical person, any time in your life can be a magical time, obviously. But there is something about hitting 50 that is like a bellwether of goodness. It is the point in life where you are who you are, and motherfucker, I don't care what you think.
Yes. That is the common theme that I've heard, that you start to adapt a little bit of that air of detachment from other people's, you know, bullshit about what they think about you. And then by 50, poof, gone.
Oh, yeah. At 50, you just don't care. You just don't care. You know why? Because you know you're not going to change. The universe knows you are who you are. If you have the same people in your life for any number of years, they know who you are, and they've decided to stick around for a reason. So you must be okay to somebody. And there's a comfort in that. There, you know, when you're young and, you know, you're trying to attract a mate, whoever that may be, you know, you're kind of on the hunt a little bit. And let me tell you something. We stay on the hunt forever. Forever. But you care about it less when you're older. You just care about it a little bit less. To a
point
where it's like,
I think that's what adds to the attractiveness.
You
know,
you just don't care.
That, like, confidence. Yeah, because you're not dependent on others, you know.
Exactly.
You feel sexy and powerful within yourself.
You validate your own worthiness. It's definitely a fun time. So, how's writing? How's everything?
Good. You know, this is my first show that I've done in so long, because I pretty much spent this year, refining writing, like actually reading about writing, which sounds silly, but it's a thing.
No, not at all.
It's a thing.
So just trying to refine that as a craft. This is my year of learning that, you know, writing, like magic and all of those other crafts are things that, you know, get better when you study it. So I've been doing that, and I have two new projects in the can, and that I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with yet, but yeah, just kind of letting all of that marinate together.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what I'm sorry, sis, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, before I forget to ask you, how do you pronounce that ingredient? Because I know what it is, but I don't know how to say it.
So that I totally agree with you that it's just like athame or athami, because I've heard it pronounced like seven different times. I grew up saying asafoetida.
Okay.
Asafoetida. Okay.
Asafoetida or asafoetida. I've also heard asafoetida. I think that one's probably not right, but because it's also used to like flavor Indian dishes. So that's what normal people use it for, but but most often I'm using it for like extreme exorcisms and things, and that's my go-to for sulfur substitute. The vibration just feels so similar to me.
Oh,
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that easy to is that easy to acquire? Because I have a sulfur allergy.
For sure.
It's
one of those spices where sometimes in the grocery store you find it with the regular spices, but I most often find it in, my local grocery store calls it the international aisle.
Asian, too.
Mexican, Indian, all of that stuff. Yeah, often they'll have, like, their own mini section of spices that wouldn't be in the generic spice aisle. That's usually where I find it.
Cool.
Yeah. And, yes, it literally smells like shit. Its folk name is Devil's Dung.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's, we're magically throw at someone. That'll keep someone away for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm glad you asked the question because, again, I had no clue. I'm very good at admitting I have no clue. I do it often. It's one of my skills. So, David, are you? So I understand you were studying writing, and, yes, I agree. I have books on writing, and I need to read them or reread them, actually. So have you started writing again, or are you still writing, or have you been writing in tandem with studying, or, like, what's your process? What's happening?
All of that. Yeah, I've been trying to do more, like, research-focused essays. And I think it's interesting is when I started researching this particular topic, like, more in depth because I had been exploring it more spiritually and kind of in, like, a less academic way for years, but particularly this past year, I've been researching lore on directional spirits, guardians, watchers, like devas of particular directions, all kinds of beings like that, and that started as a research paper, and then probably I think like 8 months ago, I was expanding it and adding to everything that I was finding and then like also incorporating in my personal spiritual practice. And then I got up from my desk one day and realized, oh, this is a manuscript.
Wow. Impressive.
So that will be a book at some point. So you heard it first here.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's done, and I teach a class about that topic already, so it'll be neat to have something physical to give to folks to kind of go along with that. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
One of those topics where you're talking about it, and, you know, the average workshop slot is like 90 minutes or 2 hours, and you're going through it and trying to, like, encapsulate all this stuff within that time, and then by the time it's over, you're like, we didn't get to, like, share or discuss or anything like that, so.
Yeah, definitely. So, speaking of workshops and stuff, are you doing any festivals this year?
Yeah, I kind of cut that down a little bit this year. As you all know, I'm really involved with different advocacy things, and this particular climate, us folks very busy with that stuff. I am going to Temple Fest in New Hampshire. With the Temple of Witchcraft. Yeah. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes, we are.
That is Storm Fairy Wolf's one, right? Or am I mistaken?
Christopher Penzack.
Christopher Penzack.
Chris. Yeah.
Chris. That's Storm of Seeking this year,
Chris.
Actually.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yes, Storm is speaking this year, though, so that's probably what you thought, because he's one of the featured presenters there. I mentioned that one because it's an interesting festival because a lot of people think that it's specifically for members and initiates of the community, but it's not. It's totally open to the public, and it's kind of like what I consider the festival community's best kept witchy secret.
True enough.
It's just witchcraft, which is actually pretty neat, I think, among the pagan festivals. You know, there's not a lot of, like, I mean, there's tons of variation with what's there, but, you know, there's no general thing. It's all witchcraft, which I think is just so cool.
That's neat. I've never been. I would like to go at some point. There's so many festivals that, you know, I either haven't been to in a long time or just have never been to at all. But that's what retirement is for.
Yeah. There's never enough time in growing. I feel like every year I hear about like 5 new festivals that are popping up.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to a new one next week, as a matter of fact. Mystic South is being held. The first one is being held in Atlanta, Georgia this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to have a really good time. But yeah, there's like all these places to go and people to meet. And, you know, there isn't ever enough time or enough money, quite frankly, because if I could make the round, you know, start a PantheaCon and Wellspring and, you know, there's just so many. And then Starwood and, you know, Free Spirit Gathering and all, I mean, there's 9,000 festivals and they're all seemingly kind of crammed together. So unless you can be in 3 places at once, you're going to wind up missing something anyway.
What would be really cool is someday when you do retire, you should like get an RV and just spend the whole like half a year just zigzagging the country to do like as many festivals. Get like a camera crew to follow you. You could have your own documentary.
That would be so much fun.
Do you know how much I would love that? What a brilliant idea. Now I just need to find a camera crew who's interested enough in my old ass to follow me.
They just don't know how exciting it would be. I'm sure they would. It would probably get a severe rating, but they might not be able to show it on Netflix.
True. Very true. That is correct, sir. You are right on that.
They'll just make it that much more desirable to watch, though, right?
That's what I'll tell myself. Yes, verboten. You cannot see me. So I did want to ask you about something because I was a little bit confused because I am not a published author. I've written some stuff. But tell me about your book for teens, Teen Spirit Wicca.
Oh, yeah. Just in general?
All of it. No, I mean, anything you want to talk to regarding it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by the way, congratulations on getting your rights back. That is awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so so everyone has, like, a brief backstory on that. So Teen Spirit Wicca came out a couple years ago. It was actually something that I was asked to write by my publisher. They thought it would be a cool idea because they're until then, well, first of all, there's not many things that haven't been written, especially when you're doing an intro book. But until then, there was truly nothing written by anyone who was a young person at the time and combination of grew up in the craft and had the experiences of going through those trainings and having that, like, out which like social exposure as, you know, a preteen and a teenager and all of that into adulthood. So it's all from that perspective, you know. So because there's a lot of teen books, but they're all written by adults, and usually the closest you can get is they have teen kids, you know, so they make their best, you know, educated guess on, you know, what they would advise a teen witch to do. And a lot of them are really wonderful. I love a lot of them. But it's just different, you know, unless you have that experience yourself. So I put that out, and it's very challenging in any type of size of publishing company to market to teens. They don't have any money. They don't have credit cards. It's very hard to, for them to get access to books if it's not at their, you know, school library.
Yeah.
So even that on its own, plus combined with it being a small publisher, so it just wasn't getting out there. And my publisher is really cool and flexible about, oh, you know, if you want to, like, give away a few copies or give a copy to this person. So essentially for 2 years, I've been giving this thing away for free already. just because,
which is amazing.
It's because writing isn't my full-time job. So honestly, like, I really don't care about the royalties and things like that. Like, when I get it for something, I'm like, okay, great. I guess I'll go get a coffee tomorrow with that. but it didn't matter to me anyways. I just wanted it to be seen and to have it as a resource. So I've been kind of on this mission to get the reproduction rights back so that I can just offer it for free on my website. And yeah, I just got approved for that. So my next step is I essentially have to reformat it all over again from scratch and then reproduce it somehow. And yeah, I've had a lot of cool offers from people, so some other authors who've done kind of self-publishing things, offering to, like, advise that process. So
that's
I'm super excited.
That's such a kindness that you are actually, you know, willing to go the extra mile for the community and give copies of this away. That's really amazing and very awesome and appreciated.
Thanks. Yeah, my soft spot, however old I might someday get, it's always going to be for me, I think. As the years have progressed, I often have people say, oh, you know, soon you're not going to be able to claim the whole young witch moniker. And I'm like, that's okay. You can still serve that community without being one of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's,
and I'm already getting too old, by the way, for connecting with the new audience there. And this was, like, one of my realizations of turning 30 is that I used to know how to reach that community, like, very easily and get in touch. And then the teens, young people who I've been in contact for years doing stuff like this have had to kind of tell me, like, oh, actually, we're really, like, not on Facebook that much anymore. We're also kind of barely even on Twitter. It's Tumblr and Instagram. And I'm like, God, actually, I'm now officially outdated because I can barely figure out Tumblr. So,
where are the kids?
because it just looks like Pinterest to me. It looks like Pinterest, but they're like, no, like there's active, like, communities and boards on there of people who, like, just exist within that digital ecosystem, and that just blows my mind.
I didn't know there was more to it than pictures. I'm way out of the loop. I am way out of the loop.
I'm right there with you.
But I will tell you that when I was a young witch, there was a time I was young, that the people that I read and the people that I looked up to were already elders, you know, like Sybil Lee, Raymond Buckland, Dorothy Morrison, even though she's not that much older than me, she's more experienced than I was. I find that in our path, people still have respect for the generations before. Like, those are the books that people still read. I mean, I still recommend the Big Blue book to all new or aspiring witches or people who are interested in the knowledge. So I think that there is a place, as we become older in the community, that there is still a place for us. Do you agree? Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's a super healthy thing within this community that so many other religious communities lack. And then, you know, like to every light there is a shadow. A lot of people take that to an extreme place with placing like a hyper focus on respecting elders, but then completely ignoring the younger ones, which I think is like so interesting to just mm-hmm. look at, like from like a sociological perspective, you know, because
yeah.
we're like the reverse of a lot of other communities. And I don't really have a lot of thoughts about that. I've just always thought that was a weird thing that we have.
That's true. I never thought about that. Thank you, David.
Yeah,
that
or
is not something
the
I considered. Yeah.
I think part of that too is, and this is kind of where I'm shifting my work in terms of youth, is now that I'm getting into the spheres of like really not being considered a quote unquote youth anymore, is communicating with my peers and my elders within the community to tell them that, hey, actually all of these young people are still following you. And are very interested in your not only your work but your life stories and your achievements. I did some essays a couple of years ago for Witches and Pagans that was specifically surrounding what young pagan and witches are interested in, and I essentially just surveyed all my contacts, and people were shocked. I got like over 100 comments in a couple of days because everyone was expecting answers like, oh, I want information hand-fed to me. You know, I want the spell recipes. I want you to do this for me. And just, I don't want to hear any of your blabber about it. But actually, majority of the responses were, well, I already have this body of information, you know, but we grew up with the whole internet. And so we've been able to teach ourselves a lot. But actually, what we're really thirsty for is those personal stories, what your life has been like growing up magical, you know, how do you grow up with those experiences? How do you become an adult with this like magical force backing you? And there was just so much stuff about that. And people were like, wow, that's so insightful. I can't believe a 14-year-old said that.
Wow.
Honestly, I believe this generation and millennials, you are of the millennial generation, and the younger kids, I'm not sure what they're calling them. You know, which it doesn't matter. I mean, we don't need labels, but you know, they're smarter than people give them credit for. You know, I mean, you guys are like figuring out so much stuff, and you know, I feel bad because you know they did this to Gen X too. You know, it was these kids with their dyed hair, and now they're getting tattoos, and they want to do this.
Their grunge
this, like,
music.
Exactly. It's, you know, they gave us the same rash of shit, and I recognize that. And it's like, no, these kids are smart. These kids have grown up with technology in their pocket. You know, when I was using floppy disks in 1984, you know, and that was at my school, and that was almost unheard of, you know?
Right.
And so I think they really don't, you know, a lot of people don't give you guys enough credit, you know, and for that, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just think it's interesting, and also it's kind of sad in a way because it's like there's this mutual distrust when there doesn't have to be, because those younger folks are you have no idea how many of them, and I know I keep talking about them, the youth, as it's like this monolith, but you know, they're all super different, obviously, but I talk to them so much, and they crave actually those direct experiences with elders and their stories, and they just like, would love to, like, sit and talk with them or have an email exchange or a chat exchange, and they just don't feel like they have access. Because they're not invited to the table. They, you know, generally, like, aren't maintaining their own platforms for teachings and things. But there's a few exceptions. There's some, this 16-year-old Tumblr blogger that I've been following who just kind of, like, self-taught himself traditional witchcraft within the sphere of where he lives, and it's, like, amazingly awesome. But anyways, yeah, they just listen to that. No one wants to talk to them, so they don't try. But
wow.
So I'm trying to bridge that gap and be like, no, actually, they just think that that you're not interested in speaking with them and don't want to hear what you have to say. So it's like, get it.
That's
I want to, like, push both sides together and say, talk to each other. It's
yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool that you're acting as a bridge. I like that. That's neat. I don't know, because now I've avoided making, like, anything Tumblr, but I may actually be making one for the show. I don't know. You know, because
yeah,
I'll be honest with you, I am so burnt out on Facebook, it's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like any of those platforms. It's you have to really kind of dedicate time to navigating and building and maintaining. And
yeah
it's hard because you know, but part of what I do for work is training people on how to use social media to leverage the advocacy skills and things. And one of the most common questions is, you know, which platform should I spend the most time on? Should I spend 90% of my time on Facebook? Should I do an Instagram? And the answer is pretty much whatever you have time for. Facebook alone, I think most of us agree, would be a massive time suck. So the other thing is, you know, don't start something and let it, like, die in the vine. Like, no one likes dead social media accounts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, put on my social
makes
media
me think of
key cat.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
makes
Olive?
Me think of my MySpace page that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. I wish they archived all of those. I would love to see my old MySpace page.
Oh my god, not me.
I don't know if mine is up. You know, that's actually how I met my husband, was through MySpace.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
They archived them in a way. So if you can, like, you know, reset your password and dig into it, you'll probably still see your name and, like, whatever the public set of pictures, if you had any, was on there, but everything else is toast, you know, like all your bios and comments and friend groups and everything. Yeah. So it's still kind of worthless.
I'm not worried about it then.
Honestly,
I forgot my password because I had used a now defunct email address. You know, I think it was through Bell South. And I don't have that email address, and, you know, I don't have access to it, so I couldn't get back into my MySpace account, but, like, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I think it's for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
It's owned by Justin Timberlake now, so he has your old info. Yeah, he tried to turn it into, like a music platform, like Spotify, but it just didn't work.
Yeah. It's let it die.
Yeah.
Oh, that is too funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe I should, like, start engaging younger people. And, you know, it's weird. When you become older, you guys are nowhere near it yet. But when you get older, it's almost intimidating in a certain regard to talk to younger people, because you feel like an old fool to a certain extent. But I think you've given me, like, some kind of boldness that, you know, when I go to this convention next weekend, I'm going to try to engage some younger folks. That's very cool, David. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for doing that. And I hope that there are younger folks there. But Youth at events is something that I'm really seeing the past like 4 years or so being very, very different from when I started doing conventions and festivals. And it's different in each city. One of the most recent conferences I was at was Paganicon in the Twin Cities, which is just amazing. I don't know if you know, but they call it Paganicon, that whole Twin Cities community, because it has one of the largest populations of pagans in the entire United States, probably rivaling the San Francisco Bay. Yeah, there's a lot of different factors with that, you know, like Llewellyn's based there and has been for, I don't know, like 50 years or something. But that community is interesting because the pagans there have lived there with such large numbers for so long that there are now multiple generations of them. And so those different generations of their families all go to these festivals and conferences there, like Paganicon or there's a few summer festivals out there. But yeah, it's weird because, you know, at PanthaCon, you might see a teen walking around every once in a while, and usually with their parent. But oh yeah, Paganicon, they were just like all over in like roaming tribes.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they're not just goofing off. They're going to those 202 lectures with their notepads ready to learn.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That makes me feel a lot better about, like, being bold enough to approach younger folks. That's very cool.
Yeah.
See, when
everyone's different.
Oh, of course.
Sometimes they won't want to talk to you sometimes. Yeah, you know, just like sometimes there might be an adult who, you know, is being a dick to you or isn't interested in, you know, conversing, but, you know, you get that with anyone.
I have no problem with rejection. It's happened a million times. Not a problem.
Yeah.
You get immune to certain things over time. Rejection will bother people much less after it's happened enough times. It's just not a big deal. But, I mean, just the courage to, like, want to try. It's not even something I thought about before you said it. So I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm happy to give any insights I can before they dry up and my beard turns gray, which I am looking forward to, by the way. So that's not an issue.
I think you'd look lovely with a gray beard, actually.
Thanks. I think that I'm like, I joke with my friends that I'm the reverse of whatever extreme ageism is, because I'm like really excited to have the gray beard and the like kind of like dandy daddy look.
I love it.
Like, yes. How many minutes till 40? Then 50. Yes, bring it on.
Yeah.
I will tell you, 40s were good. 50s are still better. Just saying.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's like a plateau. I mean, because I'm in my 40s. I'm going to be 44 next month. And I really kind of, at 31, I was like, okay, for me, I actually felt like a grown-up. But I didn't still feel like a grown-up, but my circumstances were definitely much different. I was a single mom at that point. So it was, like I said, different. And then once I hit 40, like really about 37 to 40, you know, with my sister's help, I really started coming into my own. I was not afraid to use my voice. And then I overused the word no for a while. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, flipping the script as the interviewer, because I'm curious. I at least have noticed that the closer I get to this particular new decade milestone, I've also noticed my magic naturally changing, not only with my priorities with what I'm working on, but how it manifests. And I've noticed that things like spellcraft and ritual are changing similarly in the way that I would actually respond to things conversationally and with my personality. So like things that I would normally have kind of like a panicked, fiery reaction to, like personality conversation-wise, is starting to temper down. And I'm noticing that my magic is taking on more of like an introspective, like cooling, watery nature, although it still has like a bit of that spark going on. But have either of you kind of experienced that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Because when you get older, you care more about consequences. When you're younger and you're firing from the hip, as it were, you know, everything's a whirlwind because you're looking for the instant resolution, as it were. When you're older and you're biding your time and you're watching things play out, you give more thought, I think, to what the consequences, well, if I take this action, what are the consequences going to be? Where when you're more in your own head as a younger person with hormones and pressure and, you know, still creating yourself, and I think we're constantly in creation, but it's a different level when you're younger than when you're older. It's just, you know, everything becomes a bit more introspective when there's time to be more introspective. You know, when you settle down in life, there, you know, and certain things have fallen into place, then you can spend more time thinking about potential outcomes as opposed to, well, this is the result I want and I want it right now.
Right.
Well, and it's like with any practice. Like, I've noticed this. I'll use cooking, for example. I'm self-taught. And when I first started out, the first time I tried to cook anything for anybody was sausages in a pan. Well, I had never cooked sausages before. I didn't know you had to put, like, oil or some kind of medium in the pan to get them not stick. You know, but now I can be in the other room, something can be in the oven, and I can smell the minute it's done.
Wow.
You know, there's nuances. You know, you figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, which direction you want to go in, or which direction yields the most positive results for you. You know, it's a learning curve, you know, and it'll only keep getting stronger as you get older. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say the one, I guess, downside, and I'm sure it'll play out and reveal itself to not be a downside eventually, like a lot of this stuff does, but I've noticed, and I've also talked to other people who are kind of like in my specific type of age range, that with magic in particular, as we get older, we have to work more and be more precise to get, I guess, like the instant kind of results. And that's something that I really resonate with, because I remember doing even like experimental spells for whether they were things I wanted right then or long-term things. I would work the magic and it was like, boom, the next day, like my jaw would drop being astounded at how specifically and instantly it would manifest. And then I noticed as I got older that I didn't quite get that as much. And yeah, I've talked to a lot of different teachers about their theories on that, but I think that mine generally comes to that same kind of understanding as what you were just saying, that it, you know, the magic doesn't really have to work as hard with a bigger boost, because you're adding those layers of, you know, like wisdom and vision and experience. So it's like you're not fighting to go upstream all the time.
Yeah, and the level of excitement when you're just starting out is so high, and, you know, combined with, like, what Sis said, you know, you're in that turmoil. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go back to being a teenager or a young adult. I love you guys, but I feel for you. But it's that excitement that, oh, okay, new, next, now. You know, that instant gratification, that energy level is so high, you know, and it kind of cools off as you get older. You know, other other things come into factor and you're distracted and it's not, I don't know how to describe it, but it, the energy level kind of, you know, evens
yeah.
out. You know, it kind of dips, and don't get me wrong, it does dip, and sometimes it can go dormant for a while.
Mm.
You know, and
yeah.
it can be frustrating because you're fighting and like, wait, where did it go? Where did it go? And it can be a confusing time. So, you know. Sometimes that can happen,
mm.
folks.
So yeah.
Don't be shocked.
And
don't think, oh, I'll never be able to do magic again. It comes back.
Oh no.
It
no.
does. You know.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me, and I've also kind of thought that it could another element possibly be, you know, the knowing and the willing and the daring, like those elements
mm-hmm.
that are kind of required for successful magic. When you're
mm-hmm.
younger, you have this like natural suspension of disbelief, and you know, I think that you can practice magic successfully for, you know, 20 years, and like see results, have a proven track record, know what works, be completely attuned with it, but your this like cultural desensitization to the fantastical that's like beaten into you as an adult is still there, you know, no matter how
mm.
witchy and fabulous and magical you are, like what none of
yeah.
us are immune to those cultural influences that like strangle the life out of our imagination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh
so,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. I've
and
also heard and
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Since I you know, haven't experienced this yet, obviously, but I've heard folks speak who are, you know, in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, who are experiencing a teen-like resurgence with, like, instant magic. And they tend to say that it's because, and it sounds morbid to say, but because they feel like they're closer to the veil. And so
hmm.
their physical bodies are naturally walking between the worlds, like all the time, rather than just in ritual space. But I thought that was interesting.
Well,
interesting.
I kind of think we always are, though. I don't see that as being, how do I say this?
Yeah.
I don't see that as being an unusual way of being. I think everyone is constantly walking between the worlds, whether it's daydreaming or imagining or an artistic expression of some sort. I think we're always touching both worlds at the same time. So I have to think about that a little more and process it.
Yeah. My thoughts on that are like not very developed at all. I thought it was interesting that I had that common feedback from a couple folks in that range. But yeah. Well,
that's cool.
Well, we're all constantly decaying anyways, so you're definitely right.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks, David.
I was
Jeez.
Raised with a very morbid sense of humor. My grandmother took me to see horror movies. She always made funeral jokes all the time. You know, but I've been to Irish wakes as a kid, so
there
sorry.
You go. No, you're
I
fine.
Other
I think
people
it's,
weren't raised
yeah.
like that.
It's hilarious, actually. I think it's very funny. But, wow. Okay. Raina, you're older than you think. Okay, gotcha.
All of us. But I can look at my arm and, you know, not physically see, but I know it's happening, that my cells are just dying off as I speak. But, yeah, there's something kind of cool in a cult like that, you know. We're constantly in process. We are stardust. I can throw in all kinds of New Age maxims in there.
And it is
don't
true.
Do it on my account.
Oh. We are, sorry, I didn't mean to bang my ring down like that. We've got about 15 minutes. I wanted to touch on the Firefly House, too. And can you tell folks about that?
Yeah, sure. So the Firefly House is kind of what we would call a pan-pagan or organization collective. in Washington, D.C., and our kind of immediate surrounding areas like Arlington and Fairfax, Bethesda, places like that. And we've been around for 10 years this year, which is cool. And we're
awesome.
One of the
largest.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. We're one of the largest open organizations on the whole East Coast. So that's also pretty cool. We have 500 members. 500 members aren't constantly coming to everything, obviously.
Wow.
But,
yeah.
But
that would be crowded.
But they're there. Yeah. And I kind of like inherited it in terms of leadership roles. It's actually been around here for years before I ever moved to this area. But I just kind of went through the whole training and leadership process throughout the years, like pretty much my entire 20s for the most part now, and just kind of landed in this kind of very visible space of leading elements of it. I kind of like tiptoe around the saying I'm the leader of it, because technically within our structure we have no central authority, and that's very, very intentional. So we have a guiding council of upper degree initiates who kind of oversee everything, and that served us really well as a public organization, protected us from a lot of the, you know, like fights and witch wars that tend to tear a lot of communities down. So we owe some of our, well, probably a lot of our longevity to that. But yeah, so that's kind of the open aspect of that. We have big open Sabbath festivals, and we do free training in Craft 101 3 to 4 months every year. Kind of make that our community service, and so that folks can have access to physical teachers. And then outside of the kind of open aspect of the organization, we also have what we call the Firefly tradition of witchcraft, which is not necessarily pagan, but it's a witchcraft-specific tradition that kind of has evolved from the founders of it being trained in British traditional Wicca. And over years, it's incorporated more elements from ceremonial magic and theosophy and traditional witchcraft, and has kind of its own interesting flavor, I guess you could say.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're just always doing things. D.C. is a very transient area, so we get a lot of people who, you know, go through our whole training course, and, you know, their contract changes, you know, they work for the government or something, so then they move to another area. So we're starting to see people wanting to seed it in other places, which I honestly have no idea how I'm going to approach that process. But
yeah,
that'll be interesting. I think it'll just kind of happen organically, and we'll just be blindly fumbling our way through it until we figure it out. But yeah.
Well, that's
yeah,
part of the beauty of life.
Yes, as I'm learning. Yeah. So we're really blessed. I'm really blessed to have that kind of physical community here. You know, it's one thing to have this great, you know, digital community of witches and pagans all over the world, but there's just something different about talking to a person in real life, face to face in the flesh.
That
I remember
experience.
That. Yeah, I seem to remember something about people talking to each other instead of like typing all day at each other.
Yeah, it's a lot less fights. I found that it's a lot harder to be pissy with someone on the internet if you know or at least have met them in person, because you can see the face behind it. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Because I've had people who I've met many times and so have developed a deeper fondness for them who have said things that would really definitely piss me off, and it would normally cause me to just react on the fly. But having met them, I noticeably take the time to sit and think, okay, benefit of the doubt, let me have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, very human, very real.
Yeah. So the next step for me is practicing that with people who I haven't met. I'm not quite there yet, but I'll let you know when I get there.
It's a hard thing to do because there's no soul attached. There's no, you can't see an inflection. You can't see the tone of someone's voice when they say something. And when you dehumanize the interaction, it's at, it's not with.
Mm-hmm.
Very different, very different. You can try to convey the same things, but they won't be interpreted quite the same way.
Right. Yeah.
So
definitely.
I miss human connection. I do. It's really, sometimes I look at, you know, I keep a very small Facebook friends list. I don't have a lot of people purposely.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would love to one day meet all of the people on my list in person, because, you know, most of my interactions with them have been pretty positive. And I would like to, you know, see the person behind the keyboard, you know?
Yeah.
I think as a society, we've become somewhat dehumanized by our need for technology. I mean, I'm guilty of it. You know, my younger son came to visit me yesterday, and there we were sitting on the couch together, but each looking at our phone.
Yeah. I'm definitely guilty of that. But that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited, why earlier when we were talking about festivals and how new ones are popping up, I think it's cool that so many different ones, like Mystic South, for example, are popping up, because it's making festival culture more accessible, you know, because there are quite a few people who, me included, cannot afford to fly to California every year for Pantheacon.
Right.
And, you know, your whole world just changes when you can talk to another human. So especially in this community that is just in a constant state of crisis and drama.
Yeah. I wasn't like this before the internet.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, there were still flame wars and, you know, like pagan newsletters and things that would travel around the country. But, you know, you had like a few weeks to be pissed off at someone before they could respond to you.
Yeah.
Also true. You had enough time to calm down before you had to face them.
Yeah. I love reading about stuff like that.
Some things are just too instant right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh. I thought somebody was pulling in my driveway. I was like, no, go away. Sorry. I got distracted.
I love it. Speaking of distraction, I love the like wild like variations to this show. I love, you guys know that you're like an institution for like intuitive, like blog talk conversation, right?
No, that's very nice.
I think that's where you get the
no idea
of your big fan base on. You know, lately I've seen this like big shift towards everyone trying to like overproduce and make everything super formal. So that's why I love spaces like this, you know, where you can just be real with people.
Yeah, because we say fuck that. Fuck formality.
We don't do formal really well. We're not formal people. But, you know, Sis and I started the show because we just wanted people to know that folks are folks, and, you know, we have bills to pay like everybody else. We have families like everybody else. We're not scary. We're just folks who believe something a little bit different.
Sometimes I'm scary.
I'm scary if you don't feed me. That's the problem.
Oh,
I get hangry. I'm a hangry kind of witch. Oh, it ain't good. If you better feed me. If you see me and I'm being mean, it means I haven't had breakfast. Offer me a donut. No, don't.
Yeah.
I stopped eating donuts. I'm completely off sugar now. Ooh.
Well, that's one good thing about us all being raised in the South, is we're taught that when we host, the first question is always, now what can I fix you to eat?
Right, exactly. That is correct. You must be hungry. You just walked in the door. It doesn't matter if you just ate a 7-course meal. you just walked into my house. You've got to be hungry, and I have to feed you because that is how I show you I love you. You must be thirsty or hungry. You must need something.
Yep.
But that could just be a mom thing, too.
Well, and sometimes, in different cultures, I'm half Italian and half Scottish. I'm a transplant, like Sis is, to the South. Yeah, and I swear you've got Italian in somewhere. But, shush. Anyway, I heard that. But yeah, it's like, my Aunt Mir, anytime I go up to New Jersey, as soon as you walk into her kitchen, she's starting a pot of sauce and macaronis and, I don't know. But yeah, you got to feed people.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
It's magical, food is life.
Yes.
It
See,
is,
that's,
actually.
That's where I do most of my magic is with cooking. I go into like a trance when I cook.
Mm.
I
alchemy is a good thing.
Yeah.
Alchemy is a very good thing.
Huh?
I don't know if you might have already heard of it before, but Kitchen Witch by Cora Anderson. There's a lot of like Kitchen Witch books, but Cora Anderson, who's the wife of Victor Anderson from the fairy tradition, little known kind of like cobbled together kind of like anthology of like letters and interviews with her talking about kind of her kitchen witchery and her take on that, and that, she'd been doing that since, the 1930s and stuff, before there were, the full like body of knowledge about formal like kitchen and grocery magic and everything. But yeah, really interesting.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
That is pretty interesting.
Huh. Yeah. I'll send you the link.
So, awesome. Thank you. We will post the link.
We're good that way.
How do you like that? Send it, we'll post it. So, David, before we wrap up, I got to ask, is there anything like right now that's coming from you that we should know, be on lookout for? What kind of vibe are you getting?
Yeah, well, actually, I just realized that I didn't mention it at all throughout the whole show. I'm really bad at plugging. But my most recent book, while you're waiting for the new one to come out, is called A Mystic Guide to Cleansing and Clearing. That came out later in the year. So that's out. It's just a really fun compendium of cleansing and purification rites, both traditional and things that I've kind of crafted over the years and learned from others and found along the way. So, yeah, that's out there. So I can find it on Amazon and all the places.
Wonderful. We'll post the link to that, too. Very cool.
Ha, ha, ha. How do you like that? Ha, ha, ha. She has mad posting skills. Watch out.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect closeout to beginning in the show talking about banishment powders and asafoetida. All that stuff's in there.
Excellent. Excellent. Definitely have to check that out. David, you are wonderful. I can't wait until you're on again after you have completed your next body of work, because you know you're invited, right?
Thank you. I can't. Time flew by so fast. Crashed into 8:30. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being
here.
No, I mean kidding.
We love having you.
Yeah, you're awesome, David. You're such a sweet person and a talented soul. And a great young person. And yes, I will continue to say you're a young person. You know why? Because I'm older than you, Chicklet. That's right. You're a baby.
I'm fine with it. Labels, call me whatever you want.
All right. Good looking kid. That's what this is.
Yeah.
A good looking kid. And smart, too.
I'll take that, too. Oh my gosh, I'm glad this is recorded.
Play it for people.
I'll just replay it at my desk for a good motivation.
There you go.
Listen, if you ever need a pep talk, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
All right.
We will praise you.
All right, David.
Love you.
David Salisbury, you are awesome. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we will talk to you soon. I will get in contact with you for your next booking.
All right, sounds great. Have a good night, y'all.
Have
Thank
a great
you.
Night, sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Thank
Have
you.
A happy birthday.
Happy
Thank
birthday.
You.
Thank
you.
Bye, honey.
Bye. We were the first to wish him happy birthday because it's not his birthday yet, but it will be soon. All right,
yeah,
sis.
You know what? We can do a whole month. All right.
David's birthday month.
I'll have an awesome weekend. Stay safe out there. If you're in the area, it's supposed to rain all weekend here in Charlotte. Boo.
Fun.
I'll see what I can do about that for you, sis. But
yeah,
love you guys.
We do. We will talk to you next week. It's going to be interesting. I'll be reporting
yeah.
live from Mystic South. Everybody
Woo-hoo.
Stay safe. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.